Okay, my name is Josh, lead pastor here at Bethel, and welcome. So welcome to Family Day. This is a day where we really reach out to the community and welcome them in. And we have some fun games and activities. Listen, if you're just a big kid, join us after the service. We have activities for all ages. You're going to identify as a birth through sixth grader. So if you do that, join us after the service. But really why we gather is not to have games or activities. We gather because of the gospel. The gospel is a word that means good news. It's the news that God sent his only son to live a sinless life, to die on a cross, and to rise again, that people who were living in rebellion against God might find freedom and life with him. That's our story. And I don't believe it's just good news. I believe it's the best news. There is no better news than to know that you and I can be reconciled back to Christ because of what he's done for us. So with that, I want to welcome everyone. For those watching online, we have many that watch online every week. And for those of you who are new or new again or new-ish, welcome. So let's let our round of applause be our welcome to you. We're not going to come to your house. We're not going to call you and sell you an extended warranty on your vehicle. We just want to say thank you guys for coming today. So as we think about this good news, we're in the midst of a series called Because He Lives, right? So I played a new song for you. It's a song that's been around for many, many years. We do what we do as Christians because he lives. Paul says it this way: if Jesus did not rise again, we would be the most foolhardy people in the world. So because he lives, something is different in our lives. Because he lives, Easter is unlike any holiday you've ever heard. It's not like Christmas. It's not like July 4th. It's not St. Patrick's Day. It's not the Day of Love in February. Resurrection happened on Easter. Resurrection comes from the Latin, right? Re segure. Re means again, and segere in Latin is to rise. So this is the day that Jesus rose again. But this is not simply good information. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I've heard this story every year of my life. Pastor, you're not going to tell me anything about Easter I have not heard. That might be true. Listen to this story about a world-renowned child psychologist speaking to his class at Harvard. This is what he says. He's in dialogue with a fellow colleague who's been counseling this gentleman for 15 years. And the colleague vents. He says, this man was angry, self-centered, and mean. And he is as angry, self-centered, and mean today as he was 15 years ago. The only problem I have is now he knows why he is angry and mean. And this is what the psychiatrist Robert Cole said to his class at Harvard. He said, could we conclude then that this man did not need more information? He needed transformation. And I think today some of us are this man. You don't need any more information about the cross. You don't need any more information about the resurrection. You need transformation. You need it to flow 18 inches from your head to your heart. You need God to do something new in your life for the first time. So for those of you who came in or logged in and said, I know everything there is to know, well, maybe you need to get your life right today. Maybe we can come here and say, God, change us. Do something in us. And so we're going to pause and pray before we seek the word. And then we're going to let the word of God work in our hearts. So let's pray. Father, we believe that we can do nothing and know nothing about you unless you send your spirit to open our hearts and open our eyes. Lord, would you do that? Father, we confess that many of us are Bible studied to death. We know all there is to know, or so we think. But Lord, what we need is transformation today. Lord, for those that do not believe in you, may this be the day of their salvation. Lord, for those who are on the fence, where their faith is crumbling and where this week has been a difficult week, Lord, may they run to you and find you sufficient. Lord, for those who have walls today, would you remove them? For those who have distractions, would you focus them? And Lord, for all of us, may we leave here refreshed and renewed because of the purpose and the power of the resurrection. Lord, you are God and we are not. May we decrease and Christ increase. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for working even when we can't see, and we believe you are going to do something in our midst that we would not even believe, even if you told us. Lord, to the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. If the thought of resurrection is difficult for you, you are not alone. And we need to be honest about that. For those of us who have grown up in a Christian culture, we say, oh, it's the resurrection. That happens all the time. Well, does it really? Raise your hand the last time you saw someone rise up from the grave. If that's you, fill out a Connect card. I will follow up with you after the service. And so what we believe sometimes is different than what we experience. And you will be amazed to know that Jesus Christ teaches relatively little in the New Testament about the resurrection. But that does not mean it's not there. We discussed last week, three times in the Old Testament, three people were raised from the dead. Now, when I say resurrection, this is what I mean. They were dead, and then they weren't. They weren't pretending to be dead. They weren't sickly. They were dead in a tomb, and God raised them back to new life. Once with Elijah, twice with Elisha in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, if you were here last week, we looked at the people of resurrection. Jesus Christ meets a widow, this parade of death, and her only son has died. She's broken. And Jesus raises this widow of Nain's son back to new life. Jairus comes to him, and his daughter of 12 years is dying. And as he is pouring out his heart before Jesus, a servant comes and says, don't bother Jesus anymore. She's dead. Go home. And Jesus follows Jairus and raises his daughter back to new life. Lazarus, a man that Jesus loved so much so that Jesus was moved to tears when he went to the tomb. Lazarus was dead how many days? 4 days. He was really dead. And Jesus goes to him and he calls him forth. And so Jesus has demonstrated over and over again that he has the power over death. Why would all this occur? Because Christianity is founded upon the premise that Yahweh can do the impossible. Yahweh can do the impossible. So if you have come in here with things in your life and you said, this will never change, this is impossible, you've come to the right place. Because the God that I believe in can do the impossible. He can bring that wayward son and wayward daughter back home. He can break the chains of the addiction that you've been dealing with for 30, 40, 50 years. He can break that today. To the one you've been praying for that does not believe and they say there is no God, Jesus can illuminate their heart today. Maybe that's you. But I want a Savior who doesn't do likely things. I want a Savior who does impossible things. You can have your little gods. Give me Jesus. And over again, we see that Jesus of the Scriptures does the impossible. So with that, get ready. Because when you open your life to Christ, he does immeasurable and impossible things in your life. So today we look at the purpose of resurrection. Last week we looked at the power of the people of resurrection. And next week on Easter we will look at the power of resurrection. So if you have your Bibles, join me in John 10. And we're going to look at several scriptures today. It will be on the screen behind me also. John 10. The first point is this about the resurrection. Because he lives, Jesus, he is God. Because he lives, Jesus is God. So this is Jesus speaking here in John 10. John's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. I'm reading from the CSB. Jesus says this, "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life." So let's pause there. Who lays down their life? Jesus is speaking, so who is laying down their life? Jesus, right? Let's go back to grammar school. This is first person singular. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, "I, Jesus, I lay down my life." That's important, so we're going to come back to that. Jesus continues, "I lay down my life so that I may take it up again." So if Jesus lays down his life, who takes up his life? It's a Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. If you don't know the answer in church, just say Jesus. And Jesus continues. He says, "No one takes it from me, but I, Jesus, lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again." So, who gave up his life? Jesus. Who took up his life and rose again? Jesus. Okay, now let's see what Acts 2 has to say about the resurrection. Acts 2:24 further adds, "God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for Jesus to be held by death." So in John, Jesus says, "I," first person singular, "I give my life and I rise again." In Acts 2, it says, "God raised Jesus up." So here's the question. Who raised Jesus from the dead? Jesus himself or God the Father? Yes. The answer is yes. Because what God wants us to know very clear, and what Scripture is reminding us, is that Jesus is God. He is not a sub-God deity. He is not partially God. Jesus is fully God and fully man. God, the eternal Father, participated in the resurrection because he and Jesus are one. Jesus is fully God. That is vital to our faith. There are many who would say, "I believe in Jesus," but they don't believe Jesus is God. And when we hear that, our hearts should break, because that's not the Jesus of Scripture. Jesus is fully God and fully man. Why is this important? Do you remember what Jesus does when he goes to the tomb of Lazarus? He has them roll the stone away. Why? Because Lazarus needed help. Lazarus did not raise himself from the dead. Lazarus was not God. But do you remember what happened on resurrection morning? The women, and by the way, women seem to be more spiritual than men and more brave. Women were at the tomb first. Let that sink in. When they get there, no one has to roll the stone away. Why? Because because he lives, he is God. Jesus demonstrated in his power that he is God. The resurrection is the great proof that Jesus is God and that he is the Messiah. If you hear nothing else today, because he lives, he is God. And it forces us to make a choice. You might believe, and you might say, "Well, I don't believe in the resurrection." That's okay, because it's true. The fact that I don't believe in God does not make him not God. And I think sometimes we're surprised. Listen, God is not terrified of your unbelief. God doesn't say, "Oh, you don't believe. What am I going to do?" The power of the resurrection, though, forces us to make a choice. If the resurrection is true, Jesus is God. And if the resurrection is not true, we are the most foolish people on the planet. But I am here today to say I will give my life to testify that this is true. I believe with every fiber in my being, with my heart and my mind, that the gospel is true. Do you believe the same? Do you believe the same? Because he lives, he is God. But that's not all. Because Jesus lives, one day you will have a resurrected body. Now, this is something that flies under the table. Many of us, we believe in the resurrection, but we might dismiss the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it is vital for our faith, and it makes a difference in our lives. So let's unpack this. In Genesis 1, 31, you can turn there. It's the very first book of your Bible, but it'll be on the screen. God did this and said this. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So let's pause there. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Part of the creation was Adam, man. So for you and for me, we are reminded that God has created you. He's created me good. The original creation was not only good, it was perfect. It was whole. So you and I have been created to be whole and to be right with God. So turn to your left really quick and just tell someone, I am very good. Turn the other way and say, I was very good. Because we need to understand in our lives that God has created us to be good, to desire that. But something has happened. The Bible describes that as sin, and we now all live in creation that is tainted. We live in a creation where storms will come and ravish communities, and lives will be lost. But we live in a world where some of you have facing surgeries this week. We live in a world where we see and experience pain and heartache and difficulty. Why? Because we live in a world that is now tainted. That what God made and created good is no longer that. If you remember the BP oil spill many years ago now that dumped 4.9 million barrels of oil in the Gulf. And maybe, like me, you remember the commercials where you would see animals, otters. I think otters live in the Gulf. Ducks that were just covered in crude oil. And you remember the commercial, they would hold up the ducks and, you know, they could not get the oil off by themselves. And you can hear Sarah McLachlan playing in the background in the arms of an angel, trying to get, just futilely trying to clean up the animals. That's a picture of our lives. That's a picture of our world. You and I live in a world that is completely and utterly stained by the effect of sin. There is nothing in our world today that is unaffected by sin. And the harder you try to get that off of you, it's useless. It's futile. But Jesus' resurrection gives us a glimpse of something better. Jesus' resurrection gives you a glimpse that there will be a day that will be untainted by sin. And you might not see it now, but there's a small glimpse of what could be. And it starts, Jesus shows us, that one day you will receive a better body. Anyone want to amen on that? For those of you who are not yet 40 yet, just get ready. Because I'm already in the shadow feeling that. We're reminded that Jesus shows us that one day this is what we will be and look like. So you see, Jesus did not resurrect as mere spirit only. He had a resurrected body. And so you are not only created good, but you are created to live forever. And you will live forever, spirit and body. And the Bible is very clear on this point. You and I will either live forever in heaven with God, physically and spiritually, or you will live forever without God in a place called hell. And as heaven is real, the reality of hell is the same. Everyone here will live forever somewhere. And faith determines the destination. So when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he rose in bodily form. And here's what's interesting. I think sometimes we gloss over this. The resurrected body maintains substance like his earthly body. So much so that when Jesus appears before the disciples, he says to Thomas, and we're going to look at this later. He says to Thomas, "Thomas, it's me. If you really want to put your fingers in the scars and the wounds of my hands. And if that's not enough, Thomas, put your hand right here where the spear pierced my side." This is the same Jesus in the resurrected body that when he met Peter on the shore of Galilee, he had breakfast. Jesus had a resurrected body. Why is that important? Because one day you will be raised to new life again, in your, bodily. The Bible calls that glorification. One day you will rise again. And I believe Scripture teaches that your heavenly body will resemble in some way your earthly body. Now, I'm just believing, I'm going to name it and claim it today, that I'm going to be a foot taller and a lot stronger and a deeper voice. You know, I have a list. I'm going to say, "God, if you give me, if I can choose my body, it's going to be this." I don't know what it's going to look like, but we see when Christ rose again, they recognized him. There will be something that is recognized about our glorified body. Why is this important? Because there will be a day in your life, because of Christ, that all the stains of sin will be removed. Think back to the commercials of the BP oil spill. There will be a day where Jesus will rinse you clean. And you will no longer have any of the effects of sin. Can you imagine? That's the purpose of the resurrection. Will you rise again? Yes. If you believe in Jesus, one day you will rise again. Because he lives, you will have a new physical resurrected body. That's the purpose of the resurrection. But not only the glorification, but there is more. First Peter says that God is more concerned about your spirit than your body. Peter would say it this way: because he lives, you can have new spiritual life. So Peter says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to this. "Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Did you hear what Peter describes? Because of the resurrection, and because Jesus is not dead, but he is alive, something happens. So glorification is God giving us all new bodies. You will rise again physically. But regeneration is God giving you new life. God gives you new life because of Jesus. Regeneration is simply the formation of something new. Why is this important? Because there is nothing you can do in your life to enter into a relationship with Jesus. Because you have sinned. Because I've sinned. There is nothing you can do today to enter into a relationship on your own. I don't care who you are. I don't care what church you're a member of, including this one. I don't care who your mama is, and I don't care mama and them. What matters is that you have faith in Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have. That's why we need regeneration. It's not saying, "God, do you know who I am?" It's us saying, "God, you do know who I am. And God, I need you. I need new life." Isn't that what Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 3? Nicodemus, a learned man of the law. He's a seeker. He has knowledge. He has information, but he doesn't have transformation yet. He's like some of you. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I believe that's an authentic question of faith. And Jesus says, "Okay, Nicodemus, here you go. You must be born again. You must have new life. What is Jesus telling us? He's saying that something has to change in your life for you to have spiritual life. And because He lives, you can live again. You can have new life. Listen, the resurrection does not make you a better person. Jesus doesn't supercharge you spiritually. You know, some of us, we think that worshiping is like playing Mario Kart, right? And when we have some of Jesus, we just hit the turbo button. And we were going pretty good by ourselves, but now, whew, the Holy Spirit is making us super fast. No, in Jesus, He radically changes your life. He makes everything new. Through the resurrection, Jesus has given you new birth. But church, there's so much more even in this. If Jesus had only earned forgiveness of our sins, you and I would still not merit heaven. I tell our kids all the time at church, say, pretend really quick that you're going to go to the best dinner that you've ever been. So I'll ask them, I'll let them choose. I say, choose the most fancy restaurant that you can for your birthday. And here's what they tell me, Chick-fil-A. I'm like, okay, pretend five-star dinner, Chick-fil-A. And before you go, you are dressed to the nines. And before you go, you fall in the mud. Because you were playing and disobeying your parents, your mom, your dad. But you get up. And you see your mom and your dad, and you're ready to jump in the car, and you say, Mom, Dad, will you forgive me? I'm sorry. And your mom and dad say, yes, I'll forgive you. But will they still let you go to dinner like that? No, because we still need to be cleansed. And you and I, forgiveness is the same. Yes, you need to be forgiven of your sins, but we have to be cleansed. And that comes because of the resurrection. Listen to what Romans 4 says. Not only because He lives, you are made new. Because He lives, you are made right. Paul says, He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. One scholar says that this is the most comprehensive statement of the gospel in all of Scripture. Because He rose again, you are made right. And justification is simply that. It is God wishing to make you right. It is not only God forgiving you, but making you clean. And if I know anything about church people, I know that we need a lot of cleaning up. I don't want to be the person that Jesus looks at and says, you whitewashed tomb. You look really good on the outside, but on the inside you were unchanged. May our hearts be heavy if we ever heard that. You and I need to be made right. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, in essence, God was saying to His Son, I approve of what you've done. And you have found favor in my sight. Because of the resurrection, church, listen. Because of the resurrection, there is no penalty left to pay for your sin. I don't know about your life, but when I think about my sin, that's good news. There is no penalty left to pay. There is no more wrath of God to bear. There is no more guilt left to punish. Because in the resurrection, in the crucifixion, it has been paid. Church, if you hear nothing else, because He lives, you have been made right. You have been made right. And I just think about all of this. And I wonder, God, why would you do all this? Have you ever asked that question? God, why would you go to all of this? It doesn't seem fair. In a world that wants fairness, if we're honest, this is not fair. And I remember the words that Jesus says to the disciples. Jesus appears to them post-resurrection. And he says to Thomas in John 20:26, listen to what Jesus says. He says, Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Don't be faithless, but believe. And Thomas responded to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. But listen to this. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know who Jesus is talking about right there? If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's you. Think about the power of those words. Like, there is a time in history, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he was thinking about you. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. The resurrection of Jesus invites you to be seen by Jesus, to believe and be transformed. And maybe you think right now, well, if there's a God, he doesn't even care about me. There's no way God could even know my name because of what I've been through in my life. There's an island off the coast of Long Island near Manhattan called Heart Island. It's a place, it's a potter's field. It has unknown and unmarked graves. By its own admission, it's a place that's meant for the unclaimed and the unidentified. And right now, there's about 70,000 unmarked graves on Heart Island. They have no names. COVID has added another element to Heart Island. They have now been burying people on Heart Island that had COVID. And they put them in cheap, crate-like coffins, and they set them side by side. Many have died without dignity, died without any friends, and have died with a disease. But on this island of unidentified people, right in the center of the island, there's a white cross with dark letters. And this is what it says on Heart Island. It says, he knows us all by name. That he is God and is Jesus. And it's the reminder that when Jesus rose from the grave and he asked the disciple to put his hands in his wound, he called Thomas by name. Why? Why did Jesus call him by name? Because the resurrection made salvation personal. When he died on the cross, when he rose again, Jesus doesn't say, hey you. Hey you, come here. He said, hey Thomas. Hey Josh. Hey Susie. Hey Carrie. I died for you. I died for you. The crucifixion and the resurrection made your salvation personal. So much so that God sent his only son to take your place. To give us a resurrected body. Hallelujah. To give us new spiritual life so that those who are dead might live again. So that those who are unnamed and unidentified might be found again. Because he lives, you never have to be unnamed again. Because he lives, you are never unclaimed. This is the purpose of the resurrection. Church, we don't need more information. We need transformation. We need Jesus living in us and through us. So So as we enter into a time of response, I'm going to pray over us. And so I'm going to ask everyone, even at home, if you would just bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to lead us in a moment of prayer. If you're here right now and you say, well, I feel like the person who is forgotten. I feel like the person who is lost. I feel like the person who God doesn't know, but today I want Him. Today I want to say yes to Christ. I want to believe. Would you raise your hands? I'm going to pray for you. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I'm the one that I'm tired of just having information. I need more transformation in my life. I want the newness of Jesus to refresh me and to revitalize me. That's where I am today. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. If you're here today and you say, I want to live for Jesus like no one else because He's worth it. And I know the message of the cross is foolishness, but to those who believe, it is the power of Christ. If you're here today, you say, I want to believe more today than I ever have. Pastor, pray for me. I want that purpose. I want to live for Him. If you'd raise your hand. Even if you're sitting at home, raise your hand. God sees you. Father, you see our hearts.